do want to say good morning to each one of you that has come out this morning, and it's really good to be meeting here today. It's always feels good to come to church and to meet with your brothers and sisters, your church family. I really appreciated the "I Stand in Awe of You" song, and I thought that was just so appropriate for our service this morning and also for this evening. I think that's key for us to stand, for us to be able to stand in awe of Christ and what He has done for us. I think if we're not there, if we're not at the place of awe of what Christ has done, I think it's good for us to take time and to look at that and express our appreciation for Christ and what He has done for us. I too appreciate the devotional. Can God be trusted? Can you trust God in your life? If you're going through tough times in life, are we able to put our trust in God in those times? And sometimes in life, that's really all that we have. If you haven't experienced that time in your life yet, at some point in your life, there will be a time when that's all you have is trust in God. Because sometimes experiences in life seems like everything else will be stripped away from you. And my prayer is that we will be able to trust in God at those times. As you know, this evening is our communion service, and I don't know about you, but when I was studying up on maybe preparation for communion, every time communion comes around, it just becomes more and more special to me express my appreciation for Christ and to remember what Christ has done for me. And I had to think, is it not true that communion should be one of us as Christians, one of the most anticipated times for us as believers? I believe the communion service should be highly anticipated by us as believers. I think it should spur each one of us not to want to miss it. I think it needs to be a very important part of our lives as Christians. And I don't like to use sports analogies because not all of you can relate with it, but I believe a communion service to us as Christians is like a World Series to a baseball fan. It should be like a World Series to a baseball fan. It should be a Super Bowl to a football fan. It should be March Madness to a basketball fan or a Stanley Cup to a hockey fan. I believe that our communion service should be a service that we don't want to miss. It's extremely important. In the sports world, it's extremely important to those fans to participate in some way, whether it's watching it or as a player playing in it. And I had to think, what about as us as Christians and partaking in communion? Shouldn't communion be of even more importance to us than those things that ultimately don't matter? And don't get me wrong, I do enjoy engaging in sports, and my wife would probably tell you I enjoy it too much, and she's probably right. But for you, maybe it's something different that you enjoy doing. Maybe it's hunting. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's shopping, your friends, or maybe it's money. But for a Christian, what about communion? What about our relationship with Christ? Did you take time to examine your life? Did you, or even will you, take time to take inventory of your passions and what brings you joy in life? I just see if I can get any response out of you. The question I have is, how can I tell? How can we as people tell what we are most passionate about? What are some ways? What is a way that we can tell what we are most passionate about? Does anybody want to help with the message this morning?
One of the first things we thought about.
Right. Yes, that's correct. One of the first things that come to our mind, that's on our mind, that we talk about. That is. Right. Yep. What we make time for. So how passionate are we about communion? How passionate are we about the communion service? Are you? How passionate about it am I? If it's important to our Christian lives, won't we do almost anything we can to partake in the Lord's Supper? Are you anticipating the service this evening? Are you in touch with your spiritual? Are you in touch with the spiritual being inside of you? Your relationship with Christ. Are you in touch? I know there are quite a few new families that come here, and I just want to take this time to invite you to partake in our communion service. If you've been attending here and you're not members, I believe it's important that we're not living in unrepentant habitual sin. But you're welcome to join us for communion. Over the past 2 weeks, myself and Durbin and Trulin were, I was humbled as a leader to come into your homes and to talk with you, sit down with you and hear your heart and just see how you're doing spiritually, what you appreciate about this church, what you don't appreciate. I just wanted to bless each one of you for allowing us to do that, to come into your homes and talk and to pray with you as families. It truly was a privilege for me. I really enjoyed it. I don't enjoy the busy schedule, but I did enjoy getting into your homes and talking. Today I chose the title for my message in thinking about communion. I entitled it Preparation by Examination. And as you could tell in the opening, I believe as Christians it is very vital that we examine our hearts in preparation for the communion table. And before we read our main passage, I'd like, if you could, if you have your Bibles, to turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, I'm going to be reading verses 7 through 23. This talks about the time right before Jesus was betrayed and turned over to authorities for his crucifixion. But it talks about Christ instituting the Last Supper, the communion service. So Luke chapter 22, verses 7 through 23. And I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." So they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready." So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But, behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly, the Son of Man goes, as it has been determined, but woe to the man by whom he is betrayed. Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. So we see in this passage where Christ instituted the Lord's Supper. And he instituted it in remembrance of what was about to happen. So let's turn to our passage now, our main passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians 11, I'll be reading 23 through 34. Verse 23, For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. This is Paul speaking here to the Corinthians. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. So Paul here is writing to the church at Corinth. And I believe that he's also writing to the Wilmersdorf Church, the Wilmersdorf Mennonite Church. He's writing to the Christian church at large. In verses 23 through 26, he repeats the instructions that Christ gave in Luke. He just repeats what Christ had said. But I'd like to focus more on verses 27 and 28. The heading in my Bible above verse 27, it says, Examine yourself. It says, Examine yourself. Verse 27 says, Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Paul is warning the church to treat the Lord's Supper with reverence and to practice it out of the attitude, out of the spirit of self-examination. We don't come to the Lord's Supper lightly. We don't come to the Lord's Supper carelessly, but reverently and with much thanksgiving. Communion is... This is not written with the thought of excluding. It's not written with the thought of excluding people from communion. But it's written with the thought of preparing us as sinners to receive it with the right heart. Nobody comes to the communion service sinless. That is why we come to communion. In remembrance of Christ's blood that he shed for us. It's because of our sin. It's because of our sin that we come to communion. On the other hand, what this is saying is if there is someone in unrepentant habitual sin and we take part in communion, we really are mocking what Jesus did on the cross to cleanse us. And if we are living in unconfessed sin, if we are not living a life of a victorious Christian on a daily basis, we need to confess. We need to give God our fleshly desires. We need to let go of our fleshly desires. Our sin in our lives comes from our selfish desires. It comes from us wanting what we want, what makes me feel good. And in a sense, we become our own God because we want to please ourselves instead of Christ, who had died for us, who loves us and saved us from our sin. Communion is not for the unsaved. If you have not given your life to Christ and are not born again and have not been baptized, the Bible says that if you eat and drink in an unworthy manner, you will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So the Lord's Supper is not for sinless people. It's for sinners like you and me. Communion is not for unrepentant sinners. And communion is not for the unsaved. So my question to you is, are you worthy of communion? If you are a repentant sinner, you are. If you are saved, you are. Let's go on to verse 28. It says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." What does examination look like? I believe that this examination is to consider if our lives really reflect the life of a believer, a follower of Christ. This examination should not be done on a whim, just should not be done lightly. It should extend to the words we say, to the thoughts we think, to the feelings we feel, and the conduct that we live. We should examine whether our life with our family, with our businesses, with our among our Christian friends, our Christian brothers, we need to examine that part of our life and to see how we are doing. How do we treat our family? Do we do business in a Christian manner? Do we treat our brothers and sisters with love? And what about our neighbors that may not know Christ? And also, we should examine our private thoughts, our habits of secret prayer, and of our searching of Scripture, our devotional time. We should examine this. Our examination should be seeking whether we are gaining the victory over our sins that easily beset us. And we should be becoming more and more conformed to our Savior. Our complete character should be the subject of faithful and honest examination. So why should this examination take place? Why should we examine our lives? I believe it should be done because it does us good to pause occasionally in life. Life is busy and we need to pause and to take an account of our standing before God. We need to examine our lives. When you have a car and you get it inspected yearly, it's an inspection of the the safety of the vehicle, of the reliability of the vehicle. And so when you get your vehicle inspected once a year, and so we should inspect our lives. We should examine our own lives. Same way with buying a home. If you ever went through the home buying process and there's an inspection that they require, that inspection is very detailed. And so I believe is our examination of ourselves. It should be done because the observance of the Lord's Supper is a solemn act. It's serious. And there will be fearful results if it is celebrated in an improper manner. And it should be done because self-examination supposes, again, seriousness and calmness. And it commands our attitudes to a proper observance of the Lord's Supper. And because by self-examination, one may search out and remove those things in our lives that might be holding us back, that we might struggle with. And because the approach to the table of the Lord is a solemn approach to the Lord Himself, it is a solemn profession of attachment to Him. We are attached to the Lord. It's a profession of our relation to Him. And so I believe the message is plain here to us, that communion should always be preceded by an honest and prayerful self-examination. And I'll just put it out here right now that this evening, communion starts at 6:30, but we're going to open with, at 6:15, we're going to have somebody coming in and playing piano hymns. And I welcome you to, I encourage you to come at 6:15 and make it a time of examination for yourself. I believe this examination is worth asking a few questions. You may wonder, how do I examine myself? What does that process look like? I think we can ask ourselves, how did we grow this past year? How did we grow spiritually? Maybe you guys had some trials that you were going through. And how did you handle that? What are some lessons that you learned through those trials? Are we a better person? Are we a better Christian because of them? Do we have more understanding of His law and His plan of salvation and our role in His coming kingdom? How did God bless us spiritually this past year? Where have we seen God's hand in our life? Again, these are questions that we can ask ourselves for our examination. What do we see more clearly now than God that God wants us to address in the coming year? Are there things in our lives that need addressed in the coming year? Where can we grow? Because when we do this examination, we don't do it just to... when you inspect a car, when Gary inspects a car, if he sees the brakes are wore, he replaces them, he fixes them. So if we see areas in our lives that need fixed, we fix them. We don't do an examination just to see where we fail. We work on them. We improve them. Could we stand before Christ today and say that I did my best? I did everything in my power to live as a Christian. If not, what should we be doing? Again, I believe that participating in communion is a very important part of a Christian's life. And with the communion service, that preparation by examination is very important because it's such a serious time in our relationship with Christ. Going on, we see that Paul is concerned with the attitude or the process in the way that the Corinthians were partaking in the Lord's Supper. I don't know exactly what was going on at their communion, but it looks like they had a full meal followed by a communion by a communion supper. So what was Paul saying here? What does he mean by eating this bread and drinking this cup in an unworthy manner? What was he trying to say here? I believe that in this context, the Lord's Supper had become more of a worldly party to the Corinthians. A time of overeating, Paul talks about, and overdrinking, a time of sinful pleasure. And there doesn't seem to be much reflection on what Christ had did for them. There doesn't seem to be any concern for those who were poor and hungry, who took part with them. It looks like all they cared about were themselves. So Paul tells them to examine themselves before eating and drinking of the Lord's Supper. Why? In verse 29 it says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Verse 30, "For this cause many are weak among you, and many sleep." And studying that verse, verse 30, and looking at the different commentaries and what that meant, "For many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." What was Paul referring to? And it was pretty hard to determine. It's pretty hard to determine. I don't think anybody really knows for sure. But some think that it could be referring to people's spiritual condition. And others would say that it actually meant that some became physically weak, and some were and they were ill. And it says many fell asleep, which would translate to dying, passing away. And I was just thinking, meditating on that, on the verse, and if it were referring to their spiritual condition, then it would imply here that one could lose their salvation by dying spiritually. But I believe that either way that you look at it, either way that it's taken, it isn't a condition where we would want to be as a Christian. It goes on to say that if we don't examine or judge our lives, our hearts, at the Lord's Supper, the Lord will judge us and chasten us. And why does he do this? He does it because he loves us. Doesn't that... that just doesn't make sense. Why the Lord chastens us? Because he loves us. His goal is to save us from being condemned with the world. That's his grace in our lives. God loves us. He doesn't want us to lose out on his love. He refuses to just let his children walk away. He will use circumstances in our lives. He will chasten us to try to get us to come back to him. Then it goes on to say, "Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry for one another." And in those verses there, I would say that in my own translation, maybe it would say, "Wait for one another. Show love to your brother. Eat at your home if you're hungry. And don't bring your elegant foods to the Lord's Supper." So how did the church at Corinth, get to this point? How did they get there? I believe they neglected to examine their hearts before God. I believe that it's obvious because Paul was telling them this, to examine themselves. If we fail to examine ourselves to prepare our hearts, I believe that our communion services will become something other than what the Lord expects it to be. If we fail to prepare by examining our hearts, our communion services can become a mere tradition. with little to no meaning or appreciation for what God's done for us. And my hope, my prayer is that I want our communion service to be something more, much more than tradition, much more than just merely just eating and drinking the bread and the cup. I believe that the Corinth church somehow lost their focus on Christ and began to focus on themselves. And that can happen so easily to us. So why communion? Why is it important to obey God's word in partaking in communion? I believe it's a time of examination. Again, I believe this is such an important part of a Christian's life. We need to take the time to consider where we were, where we are, and where we're headed. Are we headed toward a deeper walk with Christ? Or are we starting to walk on our own selfish path? If your life was on a graph, what would the graph look like? Would your graph go straight up? I believe the perfect example of a graph, a realistic graph for Christians would be, you know, it would go up, but it might come down a little bit and keep going up. And I believe that's what our lives should look like. We're going to stumble at some point. We're going to stumble and fall. But it needs to be, our lives need to be continuing upward. We need to get back up. And we need to refocus on the Lord. And we need to want to serve Him with everything inside of us. Why communion? It's a time of remembrance. I don't know if you figured it out yet or not, but we are a forgetful people. And I know I'm probably more forgetful than most of you. But we need to be constantly reminded of Christ's death for us. It's a time of thanking God for Jesus, the perfect Lamb, and His sacrifice for us. We need to be eternally grateful. And like Durbin said in our Sunday school lessons this morning, we're talking about the Passover. And Jesus was our perfect Lamb and perfect sacrifice for us. Communion is not a time of sadness, but it's a joyful time, and it's also a serious time. A time that Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, calls us to take the Lord's Supper seriously. How do we know it's serious? We know it's serious because of the warnings. Not sure what happened there. Because of the warnings it gives us if we do not partake of it in a serious manner. It's important. I'm almost done. Should have stayed on for another 30 seconds. It's important that we as brothers and sisters make our decisions in life based on our surrender to the Lord. So my question to you is, how is your walk with the Lord? How is your walk with the Lord? Have you taken time to examine your life? And if not, I hope you will. I hope you'll take time at some point to sit down and to just to meditate on your life and where you were, where you are now, and where you're headed. Because our Christian life is ultimately the most important thing to us. So I urge us to pray for clarity, to see areas in our lives that need growth, that need to be maybe cleaned out or let go. I urge you to pray for clarity, and that God would show us those things that we need to let go. As a closing song, I just really like that song, Marshall, that you led, "I Stand in Awe of You." And if you could just lead that again, and I would just ask after a prayer that we would just all stand in awe of Christ. If Marshall, if you could lead that then after prayer. So if you're able to, let's kneel for a word of prayer.